जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी,
I think we'll need the verse board. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotara Shata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, the verse is not long, it's just not there. It is text number 7, second chapter, canto 5, the activities of Maharaja Agnidra. Let's see if some of you can repeat if you have the verse in front of you. Katvam chikirshasi chakim munivarya shaile. मायासि कापि भगवत् परदेवताया, विज्ये विवर्षि धनुषि सुहृदात्मनोर्थे, किं वा मृगान् मृगयसे विपिने प्रमत्तान्, someone would like to recite. Katvam chikirshasi chakim munivarya saile. मायासिकापि भगवत् परदेवताया विज्ये बिभर्षी धनुषी सुहृदात्मनोर्थे किं वा मृगान् मृगयसे विपिने प्रमत्तान्. लेडीज प्लीज. का त्वं चिकीर्षसि च किं मुनिवर्यशैले मायासि कापि भगवत्परदेवताया विज्ये बिभर्षि धनुषि सुहृदात्मनोर्थे किं वा मृगान् मृगयसे विपिने प्रमत्तान्. का हु त्वं आर् यू चिकीर्षसि आर् यू ट्रैङ्ग् टु डू च आल्सो किं वाट् मुनिवर्य ओ बेस्ट् आफ् मुनीस् शैले आन् दिस् हिल् माया इलूसरि पोटेन्सि असि आर् यू कापि सम भगवत् द सुप्रीम् पर्सनालिटि आफ् गाड् हेड् परदेवतायाः आफ् द ट्रान्सेण्डेण्टल् लार्ड् विज्ये विताौट् स्ट्रिङ्ग्स् बिभर्षि यु आर् केरियिङ्ग् धनुषि टु बोस् सुहृत् आफ् अ फ्रेण्ड् आत्मनः आफ् युर् सेल्फ् अर्थे फोर् द सेक् किं वा आर् मृगान् फारेस्ट् एनिमल्स् मृगयसे आर् यू ट्रैङ्ग् टु हण्ट् विपिने इन् दिस् फारेस्ट् प्रमत्तान् हु आर् मेटीरियलि मेडन्ड्. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The prince mistakenly addressed the apsara, O best of saintly persons, who are you? Why are you on this hill and what do you want to do? Are you one of the illusory potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Yes. You seem to be carrying two bows without strings. What is the reason you carry these bows? Is it for some purpose of your own or for the sake of a friend? Perhaps you carry them to kill the mad animals in this forest. Purport. While undergoing severe penances in the forest, Agnidhra was captivated by the movements of Purvachitti, the girl sent by Lord Brahma. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Kama Istesteir Hritagyanaha, when one becomes lusty, he loses his intelligence. Therefore, Agnidhra, having lost his intelligence, could not distinguish whether Purvachitti was male or female. He mistook her for a Muniputra, the son of a saintly person in the forest, and addressed her as Munivarya. Because of her personal beauty, however, he could not believe her to be a boy. He therefore began studying her features. First, he saw her two eyebrows, which were so expressive that he wondered whether he or she might be the Maya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words used in this connection are Bhagavat Paradevatayaha. Devataha, the demigods, all belong to this material world, whereas Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always beyond this material world and is therefore known as Paradevata. The material world is certainly created by Maya, but it is created under the direction of Paradevata, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Maya is not the ultimate authority for the creation of this material world. Maya acts on behalf of Krishna. Purvachitti's eyebrows were so beautiful that Agnidhara compared them to bows without strings. He therefore asked her whether they were to be used for her own purposes or for the sake of someone else. Her eyebrows were like bows meant to kill animals in the forest. This material world is like a great forest, and its inhabitants are like the forest animals such as deer and tigers meant to be killed. The killers are the eyebrows of beautiful women. Captivated by the beauty of the fair sex, all the men of the world are killed by the bows without strings, but cannot see how they are killed by Maya. It is a fact, however, that they are being killed, bhutva bhutva praliyate. By dint of his tapasya, Agnidhara could understand how Maya acts under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word pramatan is also significant. Pramatta refers to one who cannot control his senses. The entire material world is being exploited by people who are pramatta or vimudha. Prahlad Maharaj therefore said, Soche tato vimukhacheta sa indriyartha maya sukaya bharam udvahato vimudhan. Quote, they are rotting in material activities for transient material pleasure and spoiling their lives, toiling all day and night simply for sense gratification with no attachment for love of Godhead. I am simply lamenting for them and devising various plans to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 43. Karmis who act very seriously for sense gratification are always referred to in the Shastras by such terms as Pramatta, Vimukha and Vimudha. They are killed by Maya. However, one who is apramatta, a sane, a sober person, a dhira, knows very well that a human being's primary duty is to render service to the Supreme Person. Maya is always ready to kill those who are pramatta with her invisible bows and arrows. Agnidhara questioned Purvachetti about this. Om Agyana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakhaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahim Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shravasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. It is interesting, just for context sake, that these words of description of Purvachitti's physical characteristics are being discussed by Vidura and Maitreya Rishi. Maitreya is speaking these words. Although the storyline is King Agnidhara is speaking, this is being narrated by Maitreya to Vidura, which is being narrated by Shukadev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit Maharaj is at the verge of death. Few more days, and it'll be the last few days of his life is coming to an end. And there are verses describing the physical beauty of Purvachitti. So it's not because they like to discuss how a woman looks, but they're discussing how one can get captivated by Maya's manifestation of attracting the conditioned being to stay back in this world. This is the power of the illusory potency. That's what they're discussing. And they're discussing the fact that a person, even who is very intelligent, if either has material desires in the heart or is not careful, not cautious, that very intelligence vanishes, it dies. So Prabhupada begins the purport saying, kamaistaistair hritagyanaha, the dwindling or the loss of intelligence is connected to lusty desires, material desires in one's heart. So naturally, intelligence is supposed to kill one's lust. This is the message in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3. Near the end of that chapter, Krishna describes how to overcome lust. And he says, by transcendental intelligence, the very last verse of the third chapter. Jahi Shatrum Mahabaho. He says, you can kill this enemy called lust by superior intelligence. Now it depends which of the two parties is stronger. If lust is stronger, then it kills intelligence. If intelligence is stronger, it kills lust. So it depends on what one is feeding. If one is feeding one's intelligence, then one's intelligence will be victorious. If one is feeding one's lusty desire, then lusty desires will be victorious. And most people feed both. Therefore, depending on one which day it is, which day of the week it is, what is going on in one's life, there is this little score, 1-0, 1-1, 1-2, 2-2, and this score keeps going. Because one is feeding both. And we call that, we justify that as, this is where I am. This is where I am in my devotional life. What to do? I'm being honest. Agnidra, because he's been taken over by lusty desires, he approached her. She was just walking around. Of course, she was sent by Lord Brahma. This is the whole drama here. She was sent by Lord Brahma. Yet Agnidra, because he wanted, like Prabhupada says, those who want to be cheated will be cheated. He wanted it, so he approached her. And this is their courtship. Courtship is, now he's using very, very flattering words. I mean, really, they don't apply, but he's using them. First, Munivarya, he's calling her the best among the munis, or the son of a muni. Generally used son of a muni because they're very innocent. So he is appreciating her innocence. Actually, she's not innocent. But that is the way of flattering. Flattery means you say things about a person that they don't have. Oh, you do this so nicely. It's because we want some favor from them. Flattery is used to get something from another person. So he's flattering her. Oh, Muni, son of a Muni. But then he realized she's not a son of a Muni, because when he looks at her physical features, there's nothing son-like. So he's now describing her different features. These next verses is all Krishna, Krishna. Description of her bodily features. So he describes her eyebrows. He's describing her eyebrows. So we'll first go through the summary and then we'll talk about the specific lessons from it. He's saying your eyebrows are so beautifully shaped. They appear like bows without strings. And a person carries bows to shoot arrows. And he's saying, you're in this forest with these two bows. What are they for? Are they for yourself or are they for killing the animals in this forest? He's referring to himself as the animal who wants to be shot by her. Mriga, mrigayase. Mrigayase means to hunt. And he's telling her, I am, I guess, captivated by you. This is the flattery. And he asks, sir, are you the Maya? Are you the illusory potency, one of the illusory potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So this is the difference between, there is a difference between vikarma and karma. However, both are material enjoyments. A pious person enjoys a little differently than an impious person. An impious person challenges the authority of Krishna and enjoys material energy as, he wants to exploit the material energy. The pious person accepts Krishna's energy and thinks it is for his enjoyment. God has given it to me for my enjoyment. This is the difference between pious enjoyment and impious enjoyment, and both are terrible. So because he has been meditating for such a long time and comes from a great lineage, he is referring to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this. Are you his illusory potency? Krishna is very attractive, and Krishna is the most attractive. And naturally, his energies are also very attractive, and people are attracted to Krishna's energies. In the material realm, people are attracted to those energies that are materially influenced. For example, people are attracted to the material aspect of Krishna. Money, enjoyment within this world, using the senses to exploit that happiness, etc. So he's asking her, you're so attractive, are you Krishna's illusory potency? Because the illusory potency is such that it can take away the mind of even the most intelligent. And every sense is indicated as the doorway or gateway for the destruction of a person, of a living entity. So it describes that the tongue, which we heard yesterday, is so desperate that it cannot see, the intelligence will not help to see death for a fish. As soon as you put a hook and a worm, the fish sees the worm and not the hook. Because the intelligence clouds his vision to say, there is a hook and you're going to die. But he says, no, there is a worm I'm going to enjoy. You're going to die, I'm going to enjoy. And this is how the intelligence works. There's spiritual intelligence and material intelligence. And very quickly, the material intelligence will tell the fish, try to grab the worm by avoiding the hook, and you can do it. You can do it. Like the self-help books, you can do it. You can get the worm without the hook. This is called punaf puna charvita charvananam. So the fish goes right to the hook. And what happens? Pulled out. And doesn't matter, big fish, small fish. It's the bait that usually gets the fish. Even if it's a shark, it's the bait. It's a small little, I don't know the name of fish because I don't go fishing, but whatever the names are, trout or whatever. Same thing, it's a bait. Because the fish cannot stop itself from going to the worm. Or the firefly sees sparks and fire and says, here I come. Goes right into the fire and kills itself. Or the deer that is captivated by the hunter's music, the ears go like that and becomes hypnotized by the hunter's music. Doesn't move, nothing, just hypnotized. And a steady target is perfect for the hunter. Or the male elephant he needs the little touch of the female elephant and he becomes maddened by it. I've always wondered, and I've repeated this so many times, I've always wondered, the fellow is called pachyderm because he has thick skin. But the little touch of the she elephant and he becomes, so maddened. Birds sit on him, birds peck the elephant. You know, he's walking in mush and all the dirt. It sticks to his skin, but he's totally oblivious. Little rub of the she elephant and it's like, I gotta get, runs after her. How does that work? It's just crazy. That is the Maya Shakti. Little, very nice. But in the human being, see, in the deer, it's the ear. For the fish, it's the tongue. But the human being, all the five senses are active. They are hyper alert for any opportunity for sense gratification. And unfortunately, the intelligence does not come to help. It's okay if the intelligence doesn't come to help. But the problem is, the intelligence gives bad advice. It's all right. This one time. Or it allows us to rationalize why the foolishness is actually intelligence. Or why it's okay. It's all right. Material intelligence is extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous. It makes the whole picture look, the upside down look straight. It must be nice. So this is called kamaistaistir hritagyana. As one is feeding one's material desire, everything looks justifiable. Everything looks okay. What's so wrong with that? Like that. So he's approaching her and flattering her because that lusty desire is telling him, yes, you can approach her. You can convince her. You can sway her off her feet, both literally and figuratively, and enjoy. Although he has done tapasya for such a long time, part of it is the material, because he is doing tapasya with the material desire in his heart, he is thinking that this is the fruit of my tapasya. I deserve this. I deserve to be with her. Then, these eyebrows. It is described that a person who has lusty desires in the heart, if they every day meditate on Krishna's eyebrows and glorify Krishna's eyebrows, one will be purified of the lusty desires in the heart because Krishna's eyebrows are very captivating. The perverted understanding is the eyebrows of the woman here. And he's glorifying her eyebrows and it is enhancing his lusty desires. And he's telling her, I'm being hunted or I'm ready to be hunted by you. Meaning you can shoot arrows from those eyebrows right into my heart. Like in the previous verse, the way she was walking and dallying and all that, the verse says she was opening the path for Cupid. How do we know the path for Cupid has been opened? Because people behave like stupid. When there is Cupid, one is stupid. Because intelligence doesn't work. Everything looks, it's all right. And he's thinking, this is very nice. He's glorifying her eyebrows. And he says, these bows don't have strings, but they're hunting. I mean, the language itself is, the Prabhupada is saying, Pramatta. He himself is calling himself Pramattan. But the reference, the way the word Pramatta is being used is different. He's saying, Agnidra is saying, Pramattan, I am being maddened by your beauty. And Srila Prabhupada is saying, he is being maddened by Maya. So, Pramatta Nunam kurute, nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. Nunam means always or definitely. Pramatta kurute vikarma. Those who are maddened by illusory potency will do things against the law or against the culture of Krishna consciousness. When this, then that, for sure. Why? Indriya pritaya apranoti. The importance given, the urge to satisfy the senses is stronger than the urge to submit to Krishna. Because that's being fed. That's where the absorption is. Wherever we put our absorption, that's what grows. What is that saying? Energy flows where attention goes. Something we give attention to, it will grow. And if the attention is given to the lust, the greed, the envy, pride in the heart, whatever is being given attention to, that is what will grow. So this pramattan is the consequence of indriya pritaya apranoti. Wanting to satisfy the senses, the result is madness. One becomes so mad that they move towards that sense gratification. So yesterday we were discussing, where is the line? Here's how the intelligence breaks down. A person will be walking outside from the middle of the road towards the edge of the cliff, and guess what? They can see it. They know they're crossing the line, and they say, well, I'm not going to cross it too much. I'm going to just cross it a little bit. Just a little bit. So much so that if I want to come back, I can very easily come back. So they head towards the periphery and they think, oh. And the intelligence will tell them, you're strong enough, you can always come back. So they move closer to the boundary. Then from the boundary, they put one foot forward and say, one foot's already there. I know. Then both the feet out, saying, I'm not too far from the line. Not too far, I can always come back. And before we know, bye-bye, gone away, finished. Then when they return, they don't know where the line for entry back is. That line vanishes. So this madness is a very, very bad disease. Like Prabhupada said, madness is the sum total of all stupidity. Because in Los Angeles, he was sitting with all these personalities, the different scientists and philosophers, professors that come to meet Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, anybody who says God does not exist is mad. So they said, Swamiji, wouldn't you rather say that maybe he is stupid? And Prabhupada said, madness is the sum total of all stupidity. And they all laughed. The madness is not seeing how one is putting oneself in a very, very precarious situation by allowing the festering. Festering means it's there, something dirty, and you just let it be. And it grows and grows and grows and grows. The reasons one doesn't take care of that is, one, is one is lazy. Second possibility is one is negligent. They don't think that this is big enough to worry about. Negligent or callous, if you will. Callous means, so what? It's there. That's callous. Or a third is weak. They don't know how to get rid of it. And part of the problem is most people rely on their own strength to overcome something. So we heard during this past weekend the David and Goliath reference. We're Davids, we're very, very small. Maya is a Goliath, huge, massive. And we think we can take on material energy. Here's how material energy tricks us. She doesn't come to us as this big energy, because we'll get overwhelmed. She disguises herself as something very small, something very innocuous, not dangerous. And so we think, it's a small thing. This is the trick. She disguises herself. Just as Putana disguised herself, she was massive. It's described that when she fell dead, her body was like a massive mountain. But the way she disguised herself was of a very delicate, gentle, affectionate nurse or mother. And she had her nipples anointed with poison. So when Krishna will suckle on the nipples, suck on the nipples, he will die. This is how Maya comes. In a very delicate, innocuous, harmless way. And the intelligence quickly shuts down that it cannot recognize, oh, this is danger. So the way to cultivate that intelligence is to, of course, hear these pastimes carefully and also know boundaries. And each person is responsible for their own boundaries. They cannot say, oh, there was no fence. I did not know that I should not go away. Just as when we go to someone's house, suppose their backyard and the neighbor's backyard doesn't have boundary, it doesn't mean that we can just walk away into the neighbor's house and say, oh, I didn't know where your property ended. First order of business is to ask, where is the boundary? How far in your backyard can I go away? It's important to know. Each one of us has that responsibility. Well, I know my boundaries. And if I don't know, then I ask, where's the boundary? Otherwise, intelligence will not work. Here, Prahlad Maharaj is referred to because Pramatta are also referred to as Vimudha or Vimukha. Mudha means foolish. Vimudha means foolish of such a category that there is no hope. And Prahlad Maharaj is saying, people of this world are Vimudhas. And I'm trying, here Prabhupada trans, trying, devising various plans to deliver them. So we heard that the spiritual master's number one duty is to convince the disciple about the abject futility in pursuing fruit of desires, fruit of activity. So spiritual master is devising various ways to protect the unintelligent, innocent disciple from not knowing where the boundary is. How does the device? Is it different ways of telling, here's the boundary, here's the boundary. To protect. Otherwise, very happily, joyfully, walk right into the lap of Maya Devi. Pishachiro Kole. And she nicely sings a lullaby, pats us nicely, and we go to sleep on her lap, resting. Right? This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song. Jeeva Jago, Gora Chandra Bole. We go to sleep because a sleeping child, anyone can do anything with a sleeping child. This is what Ashwatthama did. He cut off the heads of Draupadi's sleeping sons. Because sleep means no defenses. So we go to sleep in Maya's lap. And she chops her head off. And here Agnidra is going to continue all his flattery, courting Purvachetti. Okay, anything to share? I'm sure there's things, so I'm going to pause early on. Yeah, Ashraya Prabhu. Anyone else while Ashraya is getting... Ladani Shakti. Jitendra Prabhu. Good. He's got the mic, so I know who all Ladini Shakti, Jitendra Prabhu. Go ahead.
So as you were saying, one has to first know the boundary. That's like the first step in spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
And basically that comes from training. You were quoting the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and Srila Prabhupada saying there that this higher intelligence is training in Krishna consciousness. Stating the obvious, but I'm just explaining based on what you were talking about. The training in Krishna consciousness is the higher intelligence. It's not like our intelligence, it's training by the higher intelligence. Relationship with spiritual master was the easiest thing, I think. So in a society as big as ours, with such a diversity of different ideas of what that, you know, training should be, you know, somebody will teach, yeah, it's okay, you can eat this thing, and somebody will teach it, yeah, it's okay, you can do that kind of activity, and blah, 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 and everybody has their own different program. Some people say it's okay to get chocolate, Prabhupada doesn't say it's okay, but somebody says it's okay. So you have this whole thing where people are teaching different things, and the intelligence is supposed to come from that training, but we're not isolated. You see other things, and you become... why is this okay, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So how do you, in such a big context, it's not like we're in a Vedic, you know, gurukul or something, what's the healthy way to be trained and to train and still have an international society of, you know, variety of people?
I ask the spiritual master. To ask the spiritual master is the safest way. One person may ask their spiritual master and they may get this. Another person may ask the other spiritual master and they may get that. Still, if the spiritual master has provided it, then that's okay. I'll give you another example, if not chocolate. Some devotees read scientific journals. For most of us, we're told, don't read it. Somebody's service may be to be with the scientific community, and they're given, you can read. Because if they do it as a service, then they protect it. So that's the operating principle. Diversity is always there. And to help with the diversity, we have a GBC body. So the GBC body says it's all right, it's all right. Now, with that may be the boundary, but it doesn't mean that everyone has to hover around the boundary. We can have a middle of the road as well. That may be a boundary, but just because that is a boundary, it doesn't mean that that's where I operate. Understand? The idea is, that is for me to know, if I were to veer off the road, how far is it before it's dangerous? But they can be the middle of the road. For example, I'm going to say this at the risk of being broadcast all over the world. I don't like it. Certain foods are okay to consume. Okay, I'm not going to get into specifics, but are okay to consume. Now, just because they're okay to consume doesn't mean that is our regular diet. You understand? So that okay to consume comes with concession, comes with criteria, if then set of criteria. But just because that's okay to consume, it doesn't mean that's where I'm operating. I operate right in the middle of the road, like that. So to know where's the middle of the road is also important, along with to know where the boundary is. And the spiritual master, just because gave the boundary, also teaches right the middle of the road. So, and for that matter, I believe that that is clear, universally clear, where the middle of the road is. Just as the Vedas, now I'm generalizing, just as the Vedas say eating meat is okay. There's a concession given for meat eating. But we take the middle of the road approach and we make a vow, no meat eating. But a person can follow the Vedas and eat meat if they follow certain guidelines. So along with the boundary, the middle of the road is important. Most people should be trained in the middle of the road, knowing very well that the tendency to veer to the edge is high. Like Shastra. Shastra gives us standards here, and it's described, why should we be given the ideals when most of us are operating in the real? There's a difference between ideal and real. Like, we can safely say that most of us or all of us are not near the ideal. But why is the ideal discussed? Bhagavatam. It discusses the ideal. Because at least we know what it should look like, what the goal should look like. It's a reference point. So the middle of the road is important. And one should be, and one is, I hope, trained in the middle of the road things. Plus the boundary. So we know, oh, that's... Okay. Radhini Shakti. Her hand was first, so... She defers to Jitendra Prabhu.
I just remember one thing Srila Prabhupada said concisely. He always was concise. He said, it's not that Maya is that strong, it's that our purpose is weak.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, understand Maya deluxe. Do you remember him ever using the word deluxe?
I know what deluxe is. Premium edition. That's what Agnidra is facing. Premium edition. Heavenly damsel. Yes, Landi Shakti.
I was thinking of the pastime of Bharat Maharaj. Thinking of the pastime of Bharat Maharaj.
Bali Maharaj?
Bharat Maharaj.
Bharat Maharaj.
You were giving the different examples of...
Correct. That's right. And he rationalized it. There are verses that describe, he said, maybe this is not okay. No, but poor little animal. Like, and there are verses that describe how he rationalized that it is okay. Okay to do what he was doing. It's okay. What's wrong with that? The rationalization is that we fall from spiritual and we take shelter of ethics and morality. From a moral standpoint, he was right. He was perfectly right. But that's morality means another body. I was listening to Vyasa Puja address and the phrase, one more time, one more time. I couldn't believe how many times Maharaj repeated, one more time. One. It was almost like a song, refrain, no? One more time. So anything we do like that is one more time, another body. Another body, another body. And poor Bharat Maharaj, another body.
So I have a question and something to...
I'm growing old because I'm having a hard time hearing.
I have a question. Like, what is... he made that choice and he was way more advanced than... He was very
advanced.
Advanced.
I think the principle to be aware is advanced or not advanced. One shouldn't give up being alert. Even if one is advanced, if one gives up being alert, finished. So alertness, bandhumui savadhana mate, or giving up that caution. One shouldn't think, now I'm advanced, so I don't need to be alert. That is the first indicator that something is wrong. It's the first, the symptoms of the disease beginning. And it says you should nip it at the bud. Never, never think that I'm advanced, that I can take this risk. Always, always, always. He took that risk. He knowingly took that risk. So although he got a different body, his consciousness still was preserved in so much that he was in the Pulaha ashram. But as in the body of a deer, how much can he do? Yes, Jai Jagannath, you want to add something to this?
Krishna consciousness. And then the Bhakti Sandarbha Jiva Goswami says, due to offenses, that attachment came. Usually, when one is on the platform of Bhakti, like Bhava Maharaj, the offenses are due to Nama Parayat, fructifying in the consciousness. So I just thought,
yeah,
that should make us really, because we know chanting the holy name of Krishna and Vaishnava Seva is like two like superlative activities in our practice. So we should be very alert, as you were saying, to avoiding the nama parada and offenses, or knowing the necessity of Vaishnava Sangha.
Just as Nam Seva and Vaishnava Seva take us to the other side, Nama Parada and Vaishnava Parada take us in the other direction, like very quickly. Right.
He says that the way it manifests is wanting to avoid the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness. That's how the stress is coming out. But as you were saying, by being abandoned, the idea of the rules
of the real. We think the real is good enough. Don't pursue for the ideal. I think Ashraya is trying to get attention. Meaning he says his hand raised. Woohoo!
I was thinking especially in the example of the Vaishnava Seva, or not Vaishnava Seva, Sangha, having the association of devotees is one of the points that I've heard Jagannath bring up previously, that he didn't have association, he was by himself. And it seems like that's a trend for a lot of the advanced souls, Dhruva Maharaj. If he didn't have the persons with him who were with him when he went out to battle with the Yakshas, he would have been in trouble. You know, and like that, we see that this happens more than once. So that seems to be pretty important. Even if you're very advanced, what to speak of, you know, like wherever somebody like me is. So I was just thinking.
Okay. Oh, more discussion? Sure, we have 5 more minutes. Yeah, one should know the boundaries.
I was thinking, like, what if a person doesn't know what the boundaries are?
How can one perform Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti without knowing boundaries? The definition of Vaidhi Sadhana means that one performs devotional service within these boundaries. These are boundaries. There's a whole long list of boundaries given by Rupa Goswami. Vacho vegam, manaso krodha vegam, jiva udara upastha vegam, etan vegan yo. This is the boundaries. Atyahara, prayasa, prajalpa, this is the cliff. Utsahan nishchayan dhairya, this is the middle of the road. Plus the 128 rules to follow in worshipping. I mean, how many boundaries? My gosh. Boundary after boundary.
so then that means that if one doesn't know one's boundaries, then one is not really following properly.
That is correct.
So when one faces a situation and just gets carried away by something, one is not strengthening his or her Krishna consciousness.
That is correct. That is correct. One should know. This is why we should study Nectar of Instruction and those things carefully, just to know where we are operating. One who doesn't study like that doesn't know. Like, for example, let's take Vachovegam. That is given, I'm using the word boundary for a particular context. Somewhere else I would use it as a different thing, but Vachovegam. And Prabhupada gives a whole set of things of how to control the Vachovegam. Those are boundaries about the tendency to speak unnecessarily. Like serving in the kitchen or serving something. The tendency is to da 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 da. You just keep on and on and on. Like, wow, why? What is the need to talk? People talk. Constantly talking. It is called verbal diarrhea. It's just coming from the other end. Because the tendency is there. Because the mind is racing. Vacha, manasa. They're connected. Racing mind, racing words. So he gives us the boundary. Don't talk nonsense, talk about Krishna. So we are very expert. We talk nonsense within Krishna consciousness. Again and again and again. We're very experts. We're very tricky fellows. We know how to do it. Within the purview of Krishna consciousness to keep talking nonsense. True? True. It is true. It is true. Yeah, just to continue. Just to continue the conversation, something and something and something. It's not that it is about Krishna. The urge is to say something because I also want to participate in. That's the urge to stop, not to talk about Krishna. It's the urge that I have to say something. Hey, four devotees are saying something. I've been practicing for a few months or a few years. I have to say something. Bah! That's terrible. Very, very difficult urge to stop. Therefore, it's described, be quiet. Don't talk. Mauna is like the dead, you know, wall, actually. So people practice mauna. When not necessary, don't talk. So one will ask, how do I know? Now I'm prolonging this. How do I know that when is it necessary or not necessary to speak? You know how to resolve that? Very simple. Speak only when invited to speak. Otherwise, don't speak. When invited, one must speak. Not invited, don't speak. Rupa Goswami was invited to speak. Even that he hesitated. How can I speak in front of Ramananda Raya, Swarup Damodar Goswami? My gosh, how can I say anything? No, no, Lord Chaitanya said, please say. You've written some poetry, dramas. We want to hear from you. That's the way to know when to speak, when not to speak. If not invited, don't speak. Should I invite you or no? Yes, Ashay Prabhu.
Take some time. I would have thought that the answer to the question was going to be if you have like an inquiry to how to practice Krishna consciousness or something like that. I didn't think of your end. When to speak. A genuine inquiry is there. So that, I mean, it's a different context than what you're talking about. I'm just thinking how to utilize that also, because then we can have also a bunch of questions that really are not relevant to our Krishna consciousness, and that's just like a waste of talking also. So what's the bullet point for that one?
See, part of verbal diarrhea is also unnecessary questions.
Yeah.
So just flush it. What was that? Confirmation. Thank you. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanande.
To 10:45.
Okay, because I have to do something now.